Amen. Please be seated. Let us continue to worship the triune majesty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as the triune God is revealed to us in our New Testament lesson for this morning, which comes to us from the Gospel of St. Luke and the 24th chapter. Leading up to the final chapter of his Gospel, St. Luke recorded the betrayal and arrest of our Lord, the mockery that he endured, his trials, his crucifixion, his death, and his burial on Good Friday. Luke tells us at the end of chapter 23 that the women who were hoping to anoint Jesus' body for burial, as was the Jewish custom, observed the Jewish Sabbath. That is, from sunset on Good Friday to sunset on what we call Holy Saturday, the day on which our Lord's body remained in the grave. And then Luke writes, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 24, under the inspiration of the blessed Holy Spirit, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they, the women, went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in it, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise.' And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, 'What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?' And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, 'Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?' And they said to him, 'Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since all these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb earlier in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace to you. But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is myself, I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, have you anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And then Luke concludes his gospel with that event that took place on the 40th day after our Lord's resurrection, his glorious ascension into heaven. Luke writes, then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to him in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you for how by faith in the work of the Holy Spirit, we see him, even as the disciples saw him on that first day. We see him through his word, through his gospel. Grant us to see, to behold the risen Christ, to love him, and to fellowship with him, and through him with you and your Spirit, to the honor and glory of your name. Through Christ we pray, amen. Well, the bodily, triumphant resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ provides believers with immeasurable and innumerable blessings. We think, for example, of the proof that it provides us that God the Father was pleased with, that he accepted the work of his Son on Calvary's tree. There on the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." And he meant that all the work that his Father had given him to do on our behalf for our salvation was accomplished such that we dare not try to add a single thing to the finished work of Jesus Christ. Christ said, "It is finished," on Good Friday. And on Easter morning, the Father said, "Amen. It is finished indeed. This is the Son of God. He has accomplished the redemption for his people." Or we think, for instance, of the blessings that it provides, that the resurrection provides for us in our victory over sin. Believers are no longer enslaved to sin. We've been emancipated from the penalty and the power of sin. We're new creatures in Christ, no longer in bondage to sin. Or the victory that it gives us over Satan, as God foretold in the garden in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, he said to the serpent who had led Adam and Eve astray, he said that the seed of the woman was going to crush the head of the serpent. And through his cross and resurrection, that is exactly what our Lord Jesus has done for us. And we consider our victory over death through Christ. How we, through Christ, have been raised from the dead, and we will have victory, final victory over death. And we will have, as believers in Christ, new bodies like Christ's resurrection body to inhabit the new heavens and the new earth, all because Christ defeated death. As one preacher, a Scottish preacher named James Stewart put it, when death took on Jesus of Nazareth, it took on too much. And so we have much to celebrate today, much to remember, much to be encouraged by. But this morning I want us to consider another blessing that comes to us through the resurrection, namely the blessing of fellowship. Resurrection fellowship. Fellowship with God and fellowship with one another. Let's consider Luke's account of Christ's resurrection in those terms. In the first place, the resurrection of Jesus Christ provides all who believe in him real fellowship with God. Without the resurrection of Christ, the fellowship with God that was lost in Adam would be lost forever. But in Christ, God has restored us to that wonderful fellowship that Adam and Eve enjoyed with the triune God before the fall. In Christ, God has come to us to be our Emmanuel, God with us. Christ came to restore us to God, even to participate by his Spirit in the happy, loving fellowship that he has always had with his Heavenly Father. But if Christ had remained in the tomb, we would have remained in our sins and thus separated from God and his loving fellowship forever. The resurrection of Christ and what the resurrected Christ did on the day of his resurrection proves God's desire to have fellowship with us. Don't miss that. The resurrection of Christ and what the resurrected Christ did on the day of his resurrection demonstrates to us the amazing truth that God desires fellowship with us. We see in the 24th chapter of Luke's gospel that the risen Christ sought out his disciples. He wanted to be with them, to love them, to teach them, to encourage them. Jesus could have risen from the dead and returned immediately to heaven. We would have understood if he had done that. Who could have blamed him for doing that? After the way he had been treated, after the way even his disciples had failed him and denied him, disbelieved him, and abandoned him, he could have left them entirely to themselves. He had told them that he would be crucified and that he would be raised on the third day, and he had kept his promise. It was their job now to believe it and proclaim it. And if the promises weren't enough, they were witnesses to the empty tomb. But that wasn't enough for them or for Jesus. He wanted their fellowship. Not just their faith, as important as that was. Not just their ministries, as important as that was going to be. He wanted to fellowship with his disciples. After all their failures, he still loved them and wanted to be with them. and he knew they needed to be with him. Our God doesn't need our fellowship. He enjoys perfect fellowship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Always has, always will. But he wants, he desires, he delights in our fellowship, and he knows that we need his. So rather than leaving his disciples to themselves, he sought them out. It's amazing. As we read in verse 15, Jesus drew near to the two disciples who were walking to Emmaus. And when he came to them, they were dejected, disbelieving, disillusioned, and their countenances betrayed that. At the end of verse 17, we're told that they were looking sad. Could be translated looking glum or gloomy. That's certainly no way to look on Easter Sunday. But there they were on Easter Sunday, Christ's disciples, looking glum, looking gloomy. So Jesus convicting them of their unbelief. That's what was behind the gloominess, the gloomy countenance, unbelief. Belief brings us into the victory, into the joy, into the gladness. Unbelief, doubt, keeps us away. Jesus convicting them of their unbelief opened up the scriptures to them and showed them himself, his glorious person and saving work. For he showed them himself physically, revealing to them that they were in his company through the breaking of bread. He revealed himself to them from the scriptures. It's a reminder to us of the power of the scriptures to show us Jesus Christ. And he continued with them, and when he broke bread with them, they recognized him. Perhaps when he broke the bread, they saw the nail prints in his hands. He sought them out to be with them, to love them, to show them more of his glory. And when he departed from there, they said to one another, "Didn't our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they went and told the 11 and shared with them how they had met Jesus, and the others shared with them how he had appeared to Simon Peter. We learn from the other Gospels that he had appeared to Mary Magdalene and the other women, how he had calmed their fears, how he had renewed their faith, how he had received their worship, how he'd commissioned them to go forth and tell the good news of his resurrection. Jesus, the resurrected Christ, seeking out his people, spending time with them. And as Luke tells us, beginning in verse 36, Jesus appeared to the assembly of his disciples and spoke peace to them, showing them his hands and his feet and eating before them. The gospel writers include these details, no doubt, to emphasize the bodily, the physical resurrection of our Lord. In spite of their failures, in spite of their unbelief, in spite of their gloomy countenances, Jesus loved them and came to them to fellowship with them and show them himself and change their fear into faith, their gloominess into gladness. And as Luke records at the end of his gospel, the resurrected Christ ascended into heaven. He did this on the 40th day of his resurrection and after his resurrection, and then 10 days after that, as Luke records in Acts, Jesus and his heavenly Father sent to his disciples the promise of the Father, that is, the Holy Spirit, to fill them, to anoint them to be his witnesses with love and boldness. Here's the good news for us today on this Easter Sunday. The resurrected, ascended Jesus still loves his people and still seeks out the fellowship of his people. He comes to us by his Spirit and through his Word. Just like on that first Easter Sunday, he shows us himself, his hands and his feet and his side. He does this in the proclamation of the gospel and the breaking of bread. He still enables us to understand the scriptures. He still causes our hearts to burn within us as he speaks to us from his word. He still comes to us and says, "Peace. You have no reason to fear. You have no reason to fear condemnation. You have no reason to fear death. You have no reason to fear what the world can do to you." He comes to us as his gathered people, and he speaks a benediction over us. He says, "Peace. Shalom. Wholeness. Quietude of spirit in God and with God." Jesus still comes to us to empower us to be his witnesses. He still receives our worship, and he still fills us with great joy. On this Easter, as much as the first, Jesus loves to fellowship with his people. And through our fellowship with him, he opens up to us that wonderful fellowship that he has with his heavenly Father by the Spirit, in which we experience, as God's adopted children, God's fatherly care and love. The resurrection of Jesus amazingly, graciously provides us fellowship with God. And along with that, brothers and sisters, in the second place, the resurrection provides us fellowship with one another. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is what brought all the disciples together on that first Easter Sunday. It is what led the women to hasten to the apostles and tell them the good news. It is what led Cleopas and his traveling companion to return to Jerusalem. They basically said, "See you later. This is over. We're going to go with our gloomy faces on back to Emmaus. The show's over." The enemies of Jesus have won. But Jesus calls them to turn around and go back to the church. That's what the risen Christ does for us, isn't it? We're on our way in the waywardness of our sin, and Jesus comes to us and says, "Blessing comes to those who are in my fold, my church. Come on back. Come home to the family of God." The resurrected Christ led the disciples on the road to Emmaus to return to Jerusalem and gather with the others and celebrate what they had seen. And the resurrection, don't ever miss this, the resurrection is what brings us together today and every week. Since the early church, Christians have gathered on the first day of the week for worship. Why do we do that? Because that's the day that Jesus rose again from the dead. That's the day that Jesus appeared to his disciples and gathered his church. That's the day when the resurrected Christ received the worship of his church here, and we see it elsewhere. It was the following Sunday, or Lord's Day, as we often call this first day of the week, the Lord's Day, when the gathered assembly, now with Thomas, who had doubted, saw Christ again, and Thomas said, unless I feel his wounds, unless I see and feel his wounds, I'm not going to believe. And who shows up? Jesus came to his gathered assembly and showed Thomas his hands, his feet, and his side, and said, here you are, Thomas. And Thomas, in repentance and in faith, said to Jesus, my Lord and my God. That privilege of meeting with Jesus is ours each and every Sunday as we gather to celebrate his resurrection. We know firsthand the promise, the reality of the promise of Jesus, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be also. He did that on the first Easter Sunday. He's done it ever since. Whenever his people gather in his name. He is the one who makes our fellowship sweet. He's the one that makes the church stand out when we stand out for the right things. He's the one who makes our words encouraging. He is the one who enables us to build each other up rather than tear each other down. He is the one who enables us to forgive and keep no record of wrongs. He is the one who enables us to be known as his disciples by our love for one another. Without the resurrection, we are estranged from God and from one another. Because of the resurrection, we have fellowship with God and with one another now and forever. Praise God that Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Christ is risen indeed. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we would be estranged from you and estranged from one another if it were not for the resurrection of your Son. All would have been lost, but rather in him all things have been restored. We give you thanks for this glorious day on which we glory in the resurrected Christ and meet with him. And we do earnestly pray as your church that if there are any here today who came here not yet knowing the fellowship for which they were made, the only fellowship, the only relationship that ultimately will satisfy the human soul, fellowship with you and your Son and your Holy Spirit, we pray that you would grant them new life this day, new life in the risen Christ, that they would confess to Jesus their sins and confess to him their faith in him, and that today they would begin a new life, a resurrection life in Christ, with their sins forgiven and with the joy of the Lord in their hearts. And may you build up your church. May we not forget what we have seen and heard this day. May we go forth in the victory of Christ's resurrection as who we are in him, more than conquerors through him who loved us. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen.